This is Jessica Lancia interviewing Flash Silvermoon for the UF Oral History Program. It is May 9th, 2010. We are in Gold Head, Florida. Flash, if you wouldn't mind saying your full name and your date of birth.
Sure. It's Flash Silvermoon, March 18, 1950.
Great, and we're just going to jump right into it, and
let's
I'm going to ask you, what brought you to Gainesville?
Well, actually, Corky Culver did, who is here at this event as well, and someone had told her, oh, if you want a good reading, you got to go get one from Flash. And I was working in New York City at Bonnie and Clyde's. I was a lesbian bar, and I was running the women's music scene there. And reading tarot cards, how life has changed.
What year was that?
74. Mm-hmm. 74, yeah. And we had a rollicking good time getting to know each other. And she said, now Flash, you have to come to Melrose. Oh, you're just going to love it down there. White sand beaches and, oh, horses and orange trees. And so I'm not ready to move. And she says, well, who asked you to move? I just said, come visit. So my partner at the time and I got driveway cars and got down here. We were going to stay 2 weeks. We stayed a month, loved it, and decided we were moving. And, you know, we just felt real good down here. And I'd been living either outside or inside New York City my whole life at that point, which would have been like 24 years. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling like, you know, I've got some earth changes out there in the distance. I wanted to locate myself someplace that would be safe to get through them. And so I did my research and found no fault lines here and pretty stable environment. It's inland enough not to be too troubled by hurricanes. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt like, yeah. And I spoke to the woman who was my spiritual advisor. I said, I think I'd like to move there. And she said, dear, not only should you must. You need to go there and teach. And I thought, okay. And you know, I was starting to be pretty well versed in the tarot and other forms of mysticism. And in the September of 75, my partner and I, Pandora, got married. Well, it was called a tryst, a lover's trust in the pagan world. And it was this huge party, 300 some odd women in loft in New York City, and all the best of the women musicians that we played with there. And Kay Gardner married us. She was a dear friend of mine and musician. And Edwina Lee Tyler, incredible percussionist. We just like jammed into the night, and the next day or so we got in the car and moved down here. And oh yeah, and Z Budapest, who's also a friend, had initiated me a day before that in one of the first circles of women's spirituality that had come to the East Coast. And I had been having what I call cosmic consciousness raising sessions. We had a group. I was too shy to call it a coven just yet, but that's what I meant. Mm-hmm. And came down here, and I thought, won't they all be so interested in this new spiritual path? Because to me, it made and does make really good sense for women to have a spirituality. You know, feminists were like throwing out spirituality in the beginning because Christianity, the Judeo-Christian tradition, really, you know, can I say that?
You can say whatever you want.
Okay. Really fucked women over real bad. Mm-hmm. As, of course, you know, does the Muslims and all the boy religions. And so a lot of people just said, no religion, no mm-hmm. spirituality, because it's all demeaning and blah, blah, blah. And being a very spiritual person, I wanted to say, well, wait a minute. There is another way. We do not have to worship male gods. Matter of fact, the oldest religion in the world is based around female goddesses. So we can be in sync with our politics and our spirituality. And if we all believe from the time we're born
We have started again after a brief break.
So, you know, basically, you know, what I was feeling and talking about is the fact that we could have a very deep and well-grounded spirituality that grew literally straight out of the earth. And, you know, people had described folks like us as like being supernatural. And in a way, it's true, we were super and we were natural, but we were not supernatural. I mean, the most odd thing is to see a spirituality that is made up of three men creating the whole world. In nature, three men create nothing. And so just like the basic rudiments and core of a woman's spirituality that's earth-related, earth-grown, that has been practiced all over the world before any other religion, made a lot of sense to me.
So is this like spiritual feminism? Is this, I mean, are you it's merging of spirituality and feminism?
Yeah. But it was never a merging that it always was.
Right.
That from time immemorial, there were goddess religions all around the world. And as I wrote my book on the tarot, The Wise Woman's Tarot, I discovered that matriarchy, like patriarchy, was global, as was Amazonism. Mm-hmm. So just like we have patriarchy everywhere now, with little vestiges of more matriarchal thought peeking out in different places, matriarchy and Amazonism were precursors. And so the religious background, the spiritual background, always had goddess first. And goddess religions don't say, okay, women are everything and men are nothing. In these traditions, the men come under the umbrella. They're welcomed in as opposed to segregated out, but they're not running the show.
So when you move to Gainesville.
Yes.
In what, 1970?
75.
So it was a year later after meeting Corky.
Yeah.
Approximately.
Well, after meeting her and then coming here to visit, uh-huh. And then, you know, had to earn some money to buy a van. And so I just read a lot of tarot cards and bought myself a van.
And then you came here, and what was the scene like when you got here?
Well.
Did you move to Melrose or Gainesville?
Melrose. We had pretty much had it with cities. And we actually moved to Hawthorne first. The first year, we were two different places in Hawthorne. And, I mean, we paused briefly in Melrose to crash till we got a place. We went to Hawthorne and then wound up back in Melrose. Mm-hmm. And I used to joke. The first year, I really wondered why the hell I was here. I just really wondered, what in the world are you doing? Mm-hmm. This is so backwards.
Yeah. What was it like? I mean, how did she convince
you? It was like the three. Well, because Corky was not like everybody else. And some of the women that I met who actually came up to New York as well were more, you know, like cultural revolutionaries. They were more, you know, edgy. And the scene here was, I used to call it the three B's, baseball, bridge, and booze. And that's what was happening. And, you know, we came in and we were, you know, rock and roll. They were country. We were more like smoking weed and they were more like drinking. Mm-hmm. We were more like funk and blues and rock and roll. Yeah, it was just a real culture clash. And people were afraid of us because we were outspoken and very radical lesbians. Radical lesbianism to the greater extent hadn't quite gotten here. There were pockets of it. And there were consciousness-raising groups earlier on than that. But the overall cultural theme was much more, you know, jocks doing stuff. And the politics were more like straight feminism, more ERA, more that type. And we were just really pretty much like cultural revolutionaries and witches. And so it was just real different. I mean, I felt, you know, a kinship with some of the women, but they were doing like this big health fair, not health fair, a health conference through the university. And we're thinking, oh, wow, wouldn't they? I just learned how to do the psychic rebalancing after rape. And this whole process I learned from Z, doing a three-way ritual where you let the woman come and heal and you support her, and then you hex the rapist. And or just the rebalancing ritual. And I thought, oh, won't they love this for the health conference? And to the woman, each organizer, who liked me just fine, all turned slightly green. And they're like, well, we could put it up on the bulletin board, and if anyone wants to go, they could. You know, it was very much like, we can't have that witchy stuff here. That's just like too left of center. But meanwhile, some of these same women, within several months of the occasion, called us in because a woman in their circle had been brutally raped, and they wanted her to get that particular help that we were able to do. And so we very much, under the covers, so to speak, were asked to do lots of witchy work, but nobody really wanted to say out front that they were okay with witches. And this was very frustrating and sort of hurtful for a while. And we actually considered, do we stay? Do we stay? And because we were just trying real hard. I mean, we did this wonderful circle on Halloween of 75. And oh boy. Well, you know, we were just very young and very brash and very, you know, let it all hang out.
Who's the we at this
Me
point?
And my partner.
Pandora
and a couple of other women. There was like about six or seven of us that all came from the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And we were a bunch of wild girls, and we just made no bones about who and what we were. And that was a little threatening, because in the South you do it different. But I hadn't been here that long. I didn't understand that more covert style. I've gotten to understand it more, and sometimes...
Now, how was that threatening? Were you out in public, or...?
We were out every way possible you can imagine. Yeah. I mean, just our looks were very out.
What did you look like?
Well, you know, we wore very bright clothes. My partner had what I would call an isro, just big head of hair, and sometimes a little beard. And, you know, and I was wearing tie-dyes and, you know, just bright, out there kind of clothing. And, you know, people were kind of afraid that if they were seen with us or associated with us, people would think that they were like us. And, but it all changed by the end of the summer of 75, I think it was. In the summer of 76. Kay Gardner, I don't know if you're familiar with who she is. She was the flute player on the very first Alex Dobkin album, Lavender Jane Loves Women. And then she went on to do the Moon Circles album and many albums after that. She was one of the main voices in women's music in the early 70s. And we were as well, but we weren't recorded at that time. And our band's name at the time was Medusa. And we played all over up and down the East Coast. And that first year that we were here, we were away half the time, just being on the road and playing in different concerts, and just trying to kind of keep our groove going, because, you know, it was a little frustrating. And after playing a concert in New York with Kay, it was Halloween, we had this gig to do in St. Petersburg. It was the Florida Feminist Conference. And Kay and I were co-teaching a workshop on women's spirituality. And The only problem was Kay told us an hour too late for the workshop. So she gave us the wrong time. So we're driving now, we're thinking we're right on with the time. We walk in and we get this standing ovation. And meanwhile, we felt like we couldn't even get arrested here. And we're like, huh? What the hell? And it turns out that we were late and Kay had spent the whole hour just pumping everybody up about who we were. And she's saying, oh, Flash is a musical genius. Oh, she's the best psychic on the East Coast and blah, 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 to the point where we got in there and they're like, whoa, you know, the goddess herself has arrived, but we don't know anything about this. So it was a little stunning, but after that, people started taking us more seriously, started being willing to check things out, and we started to get woven into the fabric of the community. To the point, I was teaching everybody, all the feminist movers and shakers, how to read the tarot, how to look at their astrology charts. So I got just real busy. And I was told, you're going there to teach, and that has been what I've done a lot since being here. And then we had Z Budapest come down, and Z is really the foremother of the women's spirituality movement. And we're still good friends. And she had been arrested in 74, I think, in LA for reading tarot cards. But it was because she was trying to do a women's church. She wanted to get the same benefits as the regular churches. And that's when they came and busted her and threw her in jail. And they came to talk with her. They wanted to put her handcuffs on. And she goes, 2 weeks of nightmares to the man who puts his hand on me. They all backed away. And so she came down and we had, I guess we had some class. I think she was just in the neighborhood to visit us. And then there was a gold tooth rapist who had been really troubling, particularly the women at the Women's Health Center. And so we did a ritual over at Lake Alice that night. And we called in the energies of everyone and all the spirits to bust the rapist. And 13 days after the ritual, he was caught and brought to justice. And so people started little by little saying, wait, this isn't so weird. This is actually kind of good that this is a very female-based spirituality. And, they're not trying to kill anybody. They're just, trying to take care of women and take care of ourselves by having an image of something that is divine that resonates with who we are. And so it was starting to be more in the mainstream feminism, and it was starting to catch on more amongst people here. And, time went on, and there were more conferences and more circles and more magic happening. In 1990, I put together the very first multi-traditional women's circle at Kanapaha Botanical Gardens. It was like July 7, I think, of 1990. And it was just this feeling I had been awakened.
Is this the Wise Women?
No, this came much later. But in 90 was Woman Spirit Rising, and I had been awakened in the middle of the night by, I feel like, the goddess herself in a way. It was like this voice, and this never happens to me, but you have to gather the women. I'm like, okay, in the morning. No, now. I'm like, okay, all right. And my body just started to shake. It was just so intense. I thought, okay, I got out my astrology book. I picked a good date for it that would work. And by dawn, I had everything written down, who I wanted, who I needed to get to be the different priestesses in the circle. And it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Over 350 women showed up. It was like it was supposed to happen. It was real clear. And we had four different priestesses from different traditions, myself being one, to call in the energies. And to promote it, I mean, this is before people had computers, or many anyway. And I had the simplest little flyer, and it was just, I made 100 of them. No, nothing in the newspaper, nothing at all. And anyone who took one, I said, please, you know, just Xerox. Another, see, Xerox. That's old, you know. Make 10 more and pass them out, and tell them to take 10 and pass them out. And so we had 350 women. Just, you know how you wait around for an event and people are fashionably late. We came a half an hour early and we couldn't get a parking spot. So, I mean, it was just like, I was told to do this because it was a need. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to happen. Women needed to come together, and everyone resonated with that call. Even Sadie Darnell, who's now like the sheriff, the chief of police or something, you know, she was there. And, you know, we had an African priestess. Before that, I didn't even know we had any, but I knew we needed one. And that was my entree into the Yoruba tradition here in the African women. So it was a wonderful thing, and that spurred 4 or 5 more. We could stop there.
All right. It's a good place to stop. Thank you.